Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Salim Moulkil of In These Times, Ralph Connor of the Heartland Institute, and Carol Felsenthal, author of Clinton in Exile. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base on State Street, that great street in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, our email address is btbtalk@aol.com. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, www.beyondthebeltway.com. Well, we have another historic week to discuss with you this evening. For the next couple of hours, obviously Barack Obama sealing the Democratic nomination, which has basically been in his reach for several months now. But again, it's now a done deal. Hillary Clinton finally yesterday conceding and endorsing Barack Obama and urging her supporters to do so. And one of the big questions that has been sort of circling around for the last couple of weeks, but certainly in the wake of Hillary Clinton's comments on Tuesday night, when Barack Obama went over the top, I mean, clearly it was a full court press on Tuesday night to be the running mate. She said over and over again, she was reminding Barack Obama of the 18 million votes that she has received, the most that she had carried all of the major states that you need to get to 270. It was a very strong, I would say almost at times strident appeal to be the running mate. It was considerably less so yesterday, and I want to talk about that. And the question I ask to everybody listening, wherever you are this evening, should Barack Obama pick Hillary Clinton as his vice presidential running mate? Yes or no? Make your case. Carol Felsenthal, let me ask you that question right now. You've written the book, Clinton in Exile, A President Out of the White House. You don't have to reveal your true politics, but is that a good idea or bad idea, in your opinion?
I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea. I think having Bill Clinton hanging around the White House is a recipe for disaster, hanging around the vice president's residence. He wants to be Hillary's co-president. He would not be controllable, as he showed during this campaign. If Barack Obama selects Hillary Clinton, the only reason I can think of is if Barack's strategizers tell him it's the only way to get those older white women, Hillary's peers, her generation, or if the Clintons are sitting on some piece of explosive gossip, information, something about Obama, and they do what is almost a blackmail.
All right. Salim Moulkil also joins us. He is the senior editor of In These Times. Salim, nice to have you with us.
Good to be here, Bruce.
You have been a fan of Barack Obama's for a long time. Mm-hmm. Is it a good idea to pick Hillary Clinton as his running mate?
It's a bad idea, a spectacularly bad idea. She would have an alternative center of power to his. She represents the past, and the whole point of his campaign is change and a new direction. And she would automatically remind voters of her links to the past. And so I think it would be a bad idea on all levels.
Ralph Connor joins us. He is the local legislative manager of the Heartland Institute. That is a think tank, a libertarian think tank. He doesn't carry a partisan hat, but in the past, he has run for office as a Republican, the former mayor of Maywood, which is a village west of Chicago, predominantly African-American. Ralph, is it a good idea to pick Hillary Clinton as the running mate?
I think it's a Greek tragedy, because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And I think that it would be a very wise move from a political standpoint to have Senator Clinton on the ticket as a vice presidential candidate for obvious reasons. She brings a major portion of the electorate to the table and reassures them that basically not only is the left wing of the party represented, but the more moderate wing is represented as well. And you're going to have a coalition more than just the left wing of the party. You have to bring in the moderates too.
Carol?
The one huge overriding problem here is Bill Clinton's financial dealings, his business dealings with the likes of Ron Burkle, the grocery store billionaire, the problems that will certainly come up in his personal life. All the time I watched this race for the nomination over the 15 months, I wondered, what are the Clintons thinking? Because Bill Clinton has not changed. He's the same Bill Clinton who got involved with Jennifer Flowers and got involved with Monica Lewinsky. He has not been any better a boy out of the White House than in it.
Speak to our comment from Ralph, however. How does he bring in the 18 million votes? The people that, and again, how many of these, even though she urged them to support Barack Obama yesterday, and a large percentage of them, substantial portion, at least in the last several primaries, have said her voters, when tested in exit polls, have said they would not support him. I mean, you know, close to 35-40%. That's a huge number.
Right.
And I mean, it's not going to be that high, but even if it was 10%, that's still a huge drain from the ticket.
Yes, and those women who have been interviewed since last Tuesday, a surprisingly large number of them, now this is not a scientific poll, it's just a snapshot in time, have been shedding tears. They've been very angry. They've said, no, I will not pull the lever for Obama. I might not vote for McCain, but I might stay
about?
Home.
What are they upset about? Because, just on the issue of pro-life or pro-choice, for most of those women, John McCain is on the wrong side of an issue that is near and dear to them. When they, in the secrecy of that polling booth, when they get in there, are they going to say, you know what, I'm going to vote for John McCain?
I think the larger question is the Supreme Court vacancies that will open during the next presidential term, and it's hard to imagine that people who are liberal Democrats are going to vote for McCain and let him make those nominations. It's hard to, but there's a lot of anger and feeling that she wasn't treated well.
The women who are crying and feel very upset about this are generally ideological feminists, or they lean in that direction, and they would be loath to vote for McCain because of they may stay home,
and they're going to stay.
But Ralph made the point that Barack needs to pick up the moderate voters. How did Hillary become a moderate? Hillary is basically, their positions are not that divergent. They basically are left-center positions.
I know, but it's the DLC strategy.
Only moderate when you're standing next to Barack Obama.
This is true.
But that's only because
Barack Obama has the role of the John Kerry of this election cycle.
Just one second.
His policies really aren't that far from Hillary's. His image, the fact that he's such a different candidate, he's an African American, that may automatically consign him to the left side of the spectrum, but I don't think that that's fair.
No, Barack Obama is easily the most liberal senator in the U.S. Senate. He's taken the position to the left of John Kerry, and it's documented with his voting record over the years. Now, the inspiration that McCain will have to the Christian conservatives to motivate them to come out will be putting together that Republican coalition again. They're not talking about moderates on the Republican side. They have a different challenge. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton was absolutely right. The Bill Clinton formula for winning the White House demands that you have the moderates on board. And so you have to find a strategy to do that. She's more easily engaged in that process.
We have to pause. 1-800-723-8289 from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
From Bakersfield, California, to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. Should Barack Obama pick Hillary Clinton as his running mate? That's the question we're discussing this evening. Carol, you had a point.
There was a very interesting photograph that, and the caption didn't cover it, in the New York Times today, and it was Hillary's speech yesterday, Saturday, declaring her support for Obama. Seated behind her were a definite liability, Bill Clinton. He is a Pandora's box of problems waiting to be opened. Chelsea, definitely a benefit, for she performed very well during this campaign. In fact, some, idiot consultant suggested that Obama should promise to put Chelsea in some kind of leadership position in his administration. Or maybe Amy Carter should be Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, right. And
Dorothy Rodham, who Hillary trotted out to warm up her image, a benefit.
Mother, her mother.
Yes, 87 or 88 years old. And then there was Hillary's brother, Tony Rodham, up to the eyeballs in scandal, pardon, with his daughter, his toddler daughter on his lap. He's a former husband of Barbara Boxer's daughter, but he was never out in public. Hillary had her brothers hidden in a closet for good reason, and all of a sudden he's out at that speech. I thought it was interesting.
In this campaign, many, many months ago, when race came into the issue, came into the race, brought into the campaign by Bill Clinton, surrounding South Carolina, the support for Barack Obama in the African American community grew. The strong support for Hillary Clinton, you know, began to fade, and it faded fast in the wake of that. And one of the terms that we've heard over the last several months is whether or not many African Americans feel disrespected by the Clintons. They once held them in very high esteem. How deep is that sense of resentment in the black community that you deal with on a regular basis, Salim?
It's surprisingly deep, Bruce. I was quite taken aback by it because I assumed that most African Americans would see this as a rough and tumble campaign, and that Hillary would use what she had to emerge victorious, and they would take it in stride. But it's been extremely emotional for a lot of African Americans. No matter how I plead with them to look at a larger picture, and that McCain would be a disaster for the African American community, many of them are insisting they would have never voted for Hillary.
So they will not want her on the ticket.
The
African American base will not want her on the ticket.
But they would vote for Obama if she were on the ticket, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yes. 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 They would vote.
You won't lose them.
No. That's true. That would kind of encompass all of that.
This is the primary reason that I'm setting up a separate consultancy, which is going to be a re-education and rehabilitation camp to rehabilitate the image of Bill and Hillary Clinton, as well as the image of all those members of Congress that are black Democrats who were pretty much lampooned for their lack
of
support
for
Barack Obama. I think this whole racial zealotry, this whole lockstep demand that you have to vote for the black candidate runs counter to everything that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. represented. But the DNC has caved in. I think that many others have caved in, and now we're living off of this, and we'll see how far it goes. I think that we can't underestimate Senator Obama. Certainly he's gifted, and his resume may be thin, his accomplishments may be thin, but people want change. The question is, what type of change?
Do you disagree with my assessment that Bill Clinton is the one that dropped race into this campaign?
I absolutely disagree. Bill Clinton, and one of the things of re-educating him and rehabilitating his image is, once the racial hysteria subsides after the general election, and then blacks can come out and be friends with white people again, once that happens, we'll get back to the facts that Bill Clinton only told the truth, but he was, the liberal press condemned him. They played the race card from that point on.
In what way did he tell the truth?
All he said, and if you look at his remarks, and I'm not a Clinton defender, all he said was, well, I mean, their game plan called for in the Democratic primary probably is not going to be a big win for Hillary in South Carolina because of the number of blacks that are going to drink the Kool-Aid. The point is that what they're not looking at is, traditionally in the general election, South Carolina is solidly Republican, so what's the point?
Well, it's in play. I think I don't think that it was Bill Clinton who changed the African-American community changed their support from Hillary to Obama. I think it was the Iowa caucuses. Once African-Americans realized that white people took Obama seriously and would vote for him.
But it crashed in New Hampshire. Based on that logic, it crashed in New Hampshire. She came right back.
But Bill Clinton's purpose of making the comment in South Carolina, and by the way, he made it in advance. It isn't just the Jesse Jackson comment. It was the comments basically he made about earlier on, even when he was in New Hampshire. Because the point that was made, it seems to me, was, hey, folks, whatever is going to happen in South Carolina, meaning I think Hillary's going to lose, whatever happens, it's a black thing.
Right.
I mean, he diminished, he disrespected whatever happened there.
But see, you can't talk about South Carolina without talking about South Dakota. As Senator Obama was announcing his victory, he was expected to win the 15 delegates in South Dakota, but he lost.
But no, but the point is, what made one different is one was early in the campaign when the die was cast. And at that particular point, in what I would say is sort of a traditional thing that happens in campaigns, if you think you've got a loss coming up, you try to some way to sort of dismiss the loss.
That's practical.
In doing that, Bill Clinton used the race card, and in doing it, he changed the mood of the campaign because he knew that the South Carolina Democrats were going to support Barack Obama. And from that point on, the story every single Tuesday night was, well, what percentage of the black vote did he get? And it kept going up and up and up. And as his support in the black community kept going up and up and up, Hillary's Clinton's support in the white community did the same thing.
But if you look back at when Hillary announced in January of 2007, and from month after month, she was the inevitable candidate. All the national polls showed her ahead by double digits almost everywhere, and she had the majority of the African-American support. It wasn't until Bill Clinton, who loves the camera, loves to be in the spotlight, and used his fame in an irresponsible way. He was frustrated. He was exhausted. He was irrational. He was angry. The last thing that Bill Clinton wants, what gets him so riled up and so red in the face, is that Bill Clinton is no longer the rock star. He loves being the rock star. Barack Obama is a rock star. Bill Clinton is a doddering man who makes many,
but Bill Clinton was not the presidential candidate, and I think this obsession with Bill Clinton has got to stop. Bill Clinton has always been on the right side of black issues for the majority of blacks. When the November general election is over, Bill Clinton will once again be redeemed as a lover of black people.
The point is, he can't keep his mouth shut, and I'm not so sure that redemption is going to take place. We have lots of callers. Sam in Hinsdale, Illinois, on WLS and Coast to Coast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bruce. This is Sam. Thanks for letting me take the call again. I called last week. I couldn't finish my point, so I'll finish it now. I don't think it's good to pick Hillary because she's been a disaster for women. And what I mean by that is Iraqi women. I mean the hundreds of thousands of widows, and she's speaking hawkish against Iran. I don't think he should pick any vice president that should remind people of the past, which is genocide against the Iraqis and against the Iranians. I think we need
That's your point. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Wheaton, Illinois. Jan is listening to us. Should Barack Obama pick Hillary Clinton, yes or no?
No.
Why not?
if I was a Democrat, definitely not, but I'm not a Democrat. I called with another point.
Go ahead.
And I just wanted to see if anybody felt the same way. I was very surprised because Hillary did not really quit her campaign. She's quoted as it being suspended.
Right.
Now, being suspended, my thinking is that she's standing there in the wings because she's well aware that this Tony Resco here in Illinois has been convicted, and he has been a close friend of the Obamas for 10 years, and this fella has many dirty dealings, tons. If you live in the Chicagoland area and read the newspapers here, you're well aware of all the different kind of crimes that he's been involved in.
Yeah, but again, in that trial, they've not gone to the doorstep of Barack Obama.
No, they haven't.
They've gone to the doorstep of the governor, but not Barack Obama.
Exactly. But what they do is you know, this is what I've seen the feds do before.
All right, let's let Carol respond, Jan.
I agree with Bruce that they, Rod Blagojevich, our governor in Illinois, is much more in much worse a spot than Barack Obama. But I do think that Hillary is hoping that some news, some scandal, some big misstep on Barack's part happens and that she can then come in to save the party and be the nominee. And I believe that's what happens. I think also she maintains more power by doing that, and she maintains the ability to pay herself back. She lent the campaign $11+ million, and they're in debt, I think, about $40 million. So she wants help with it. She wants to somehow have some hammer over Barack Obama that she can use.
Do you think he'll help her retire her campaign debt?
I think he's going to do whatever he has to do to win this general election. And if it requires that, it's, of course, Bill Clinton could
give five... Is that the price of a running mate?
Bill Clinton could give five speeches and make $11 million. So it's kind of odd that they're that worried about that. But I do think that she's hoping for a major stumble.
1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont from Coast to Coast and Border to Border. Should Barack Obama pick Hillary Clinton for vice president? Barack Obama is in Chicago tonight. He may be listening to this show. I know he does from time to time. Give him some advice. 1-800-723-8289. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. From Knoxville, Tennessee to Niles, Michigan, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. Salim Muwakkil is here. He is the senior editor of In These Times. That's one of the leading progressive periodicals in the United States and a regular on this program for many, many years. Ralph Connor also joins us. He is the local legislative manager of the Heartland Institute, although he's not wearing his Heartland hat tonight because he is offering his and pontificating because he's got a lot of thoughts on a lot of subjects. He has run for office as a Republican, was the mayor once upon a time of Maywood, Illinois. That is a suburb just west of Chicago. And also Carol Felsenthal joins us. She is one of the country's leading freelance writers, and she's written a new book called Clinton in Exile, A President Out of the White House. She has investigated and spent a lot of time looking into the activities of Bill Clinton and since he left the White House. And if you heard her at the beginning of the program, her advice was to Barack Obama, beware, beware, danger, danger ahead, danger ahead. And even, you know, when I was watching in the wake of the speech yesterday, the fact that, you know, to have Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton literally working the crowd together, surrounded by Secret Service people, I mean, that's the way it would be if she was the vice presidential running mate.
Right. There'd be two power centers.
Not only that, but he would be out there all the time. He would be sucking up, you know, Secret Service protection, which he's going to, which he is, you know.
He gets it anyhow.
He gets it anyway.
Yeah, but he's not controllable. And supposedly, if Barack were to pick Hillary, there would be some guidelines set down on what Bill could do, but mm-hmm. Bill would throw those guidelines yeah. over the fence in about 20 seconds.
Yeah. You're not going to tell Bill Clinton what to do. And again, I think he's already demonstrated in the campaign that, again, she can't keep a leash on him. And certainly your book indicates that right. she can't keep a leash on him as well. Let's go to Niles, Michigan. Dave is listening to us on WSBT. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Okay.
I think Hillary and Obama would make a good team. Their policies are pretty close, and I think if they tweaked them out together, I think it would really put things on the right track. And as far as Bill goes, he's past, and Hillary's the future, and Obama's the future. And they got to do what's good for the country.
What about that, about Hillary being being tagged with Bill Clinton as part of the past when, maybe the case could be made, as Dave is suggesting, that, she is not Bill Clinton.
Well, but that's how she presented herself every time she said that, unlike Barack Obama, I have experience. What was her experience? Her experience was being First Lady of Arkansas. In fact, she was working as a partner at the Rose Law Firm.
And the White House.
Then the 8 years in the White House. When after the debacle of the health care legislation, she played a very traditional role in the White House. And that's why the story she told about being under sniper fire in 1996 in Bosnia so hurt her credibility.
Dave, let me ask you the other thing that I keep coming back to is that I understand all of the problems, all of the pitfalls of running with Hillary Clinton. But in the campaign right now, there's only one goal that John McCain and Bill and Barack Obama have right now, and that is, how do I get to 270 electoral votes? And the question is, which is what was said the other night when Hillary Clinton was addressing, this is Tuesday night, when she was campaigning for vice president, we won the swing states necessary to win 270 electoral votes, period. If those voters in Pennsylvania and West Virginia and some of these other states, if they don't come back, they're not going to come back in West Virginia, but they conceivably could come back in Pennsylvania. If those voters don't come to the Democratic Party, he's not going to get elected.
Right.
Talk about hold the nose and make the decision
right.
and encircle the team to make sure that Bill Clinton doesn't go off the reservation, but doesn't he need her mathematically?
Well, there are other candidates who could supply that same demographic group to Obama's you know, total. Jim Webb, for example, I mean, the whole, really what we're talking about, the Appalachian states, which is where he's had the most problems. He's pulled white voters in Oregon and Wisconsin.
But not Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Not Ohio.
And that's why those.
But here's my point. Lower educated states, here's my point. Lower educated states, it isn't just because he's black. He also is elite. Right. Are they ever going to get those voters back? My answer is no.
Yeah.
They're gone. It was a unique moment that they voted for Hillary, this, you know, graduate of Wellesley. But, you know, the reality is they're not going to come back and vote for these people are gone. These are in John McCain's camp.
Right.
I wouldn't spend 1 second campaigning in West Virginia.
Yeah, but that's why they're looking at the governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell. Yeah. But I think
Double
he would be,
Jewish
and
vote,
I'll tell
too.
You why he would be a mistake, because he's Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I think a Jew and an African American at one time.
Don't you think Jim Webb would
Jim
be a perfect...
Jim Webb is a very interesting character, and he's a character in my book, but he is also uncontrollable. Of course, he was a Reagan Republican and a member of that administration. He's got a hair trigger temper. You never know what he's going
to
say.
Let's go to Susan in Chicago. She likes the idea of Jim Webb. Go ahead, Susan, on LS in Chicago, coast to coast.
Actually, I don't like the idea of Jim Webb. I actually like Mark Warner a lot better.
Okay.
I am a 34-year-old black female, and I'm also a feminist, and I don't think that Senator Obama should pick Hillary Clinton for the reasons that many on your panel have cited. She's too divisive. She's too liberal, and she is. He needs somebody who's moderate. And I think when he started off his post-primary campaign right there in Virginia, he was letting the country know he's going to pick somebody who appeals to the disillusioned Republicans and to the unhappy independents. So he's already letting you know where his thinking is going, and he's definitely going to pick somebody who has had experience winning over Republicans and independents in particular. Now, with those white voters who are
very
not going to vote for him, who didn't vote for him in the primary, that's okay that they're gone, because he's going to pick up those independents and Republicans, and so that's going to mitigate whatever he loses from those.
I agree. Ralph is shaking his head as you speak, and I'm nodding yes, but go ahead, Ralph.
Number one, the Obama X ticket will... meaning we don't know who his vice presidential candidate is yet, but that ticket, that ticket will not get any Republican votes, number one. Number two, there has
why,
to be
why,
a special,
why do you say that?
Carte blanche, it's going to be too liberal. And so Republicans...
But is not liberal.
It got votes in the primary.
But the vice president will not set the tone. The tone will be set by the John Kerry of this cycle, who is the most liberal senator in the Senate. That's who's going to set the tone. To moderate it, you're going to have to bring it back to where it's more acceptable to the more moderate wing of the Democratic Party. We're believing that the left wing of the Democratic Party is going to call a complete shot. If you put Mark Warner on the ticket or Jim Webb on the ticket, and you have a gun rights individual who appears to some of the evangelicals, then you run counter to the gun control ethics.
Obama's
not gun.
Let's Susan respond.
He's gun control, just like Richard Daley.
Go ahead, Susan.
My follow-up point is that we all know, anybody who knows understands electoral politics understands that in a primary you run left, you run extreme right, whatever party side you're on, and then when it comes to the general, you run center. So by getting somebody strategically who appeals to the center, that will help Obama in 2008 in November. And trust me, he's strategically thinking. He's not going to pick somebody who's going to help him get the left. He's already got the left. He doesn't need the left anymore.
Salim.
The first speech he made after sewing things up was at AIPAC. And he took a very, very hard line, enraging many on the left with many of his comments about Jerusalem, for example.
Right.
And so I think already, as Susan pointed out, he's tacking right. And that is a traditional pattern.
Yeah, but he had to come out, and I thought it was damaging to him, and kind of slightly amend those remarks, because
slightly.
There is a very large Arab voting population in Michigan.
Absolutely.
And he has to worry about that. I also think Strickland of Ohio would be an interesting choice, okay. Even though I remember the time he was standing, and when Hillary was saying, shame on you, Barack Obama, over those NAFTA flyers, which were true. There was nothing in there that wasn't true, and reminding everybody of their worst experience with their mother or their teacher, and Strickland was standing behind her, bobbing his head like an idiot.
If there's any consideration of that, they should look at the debate on television. I believe it was on Fox News Sunday, when he was debating Governor Doyle of Wisconsin.
Right.
Governor Doyle handed him his lunch.
Right.
It almost looked like he was having a stroke. He was so flustered and so out of it. Let's go to Virginia. We've been talking about Virginia. Let's go to Norfolk, where Leon is listening to us on XM Radio tonight. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't think that Hillary is going to be his VP pick. You know, I worked in Virginia as an intuitive advisor, and what I believe is that she won't be his VP pick because, like so many have said, she's very divisive, and the Republicans will use her against him. I don't think that President Clinton either will get his standing back to the black community either because of his divisiveness. I don't think that any of the people that you're saying that's going to be his VP pick will be his VP pick. He may pick a Republican or he may pick someone else beyond what you guys think, because the person that he picked needs to be a team player.
Well, I think I agree with you, and I think Salim mentioned Chuck Hagel, the senior senator from Nebraska. Chuck Hagel at this moment would be a wow pick. It would be a stunner, and it would bring in some Republicans.
Absolutely.
Right. But, you know, he can't pick. One of the interesting things about this Hillary's role in the nomination is suddenly the conventional wisdom is he can't pick a woman, because if he picks a woman, that'll be an extra diss of Hillary, which
is
totally. I think it's completely crazy, but that's the way a lot of Hillary's supporters feel, especially if the woman is somewhat younger than Hillary, because age has a lot to do with it.
I agree with that I think it would be the ultimate insult if he picked another woman other than Hillary. Hillary has earned herself to be the first woman on the ticket at this moment. Whether he chooses it, we'll know. Back shortly.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Thank you.
From Bloomington, Illinois to Beverly Hills, California, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. And we're going to go back to calls in just a moment. But regular listeners to this program know that during the last several months, when the potential of a very hotly contested convention for the Democrats in Denver looked like it was on the horizon. It seems a little less likely today than certainly a couple of weeks ago. I made the comment on several occasions that August 28th, which is the last night of the Democratic convention, was the 40th anniversary of the Democratic convention riots in Chicago in 1968, and there would be a lot of juxtaposition of that of that story of the past. What I did not mention, and someone called it to my attention, and I should have known, but I did not put it together. It is also the 45th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech on August 28th of 1963. And so that day, when Barack Obama gets to address another Democratic convention on a national television speech, is going to be quite monumental and quite historic. And before we go back to calls, I want to go to Salim and get your assessment. What does this nomination mean to the black communities? There are many mm-hmm. communities. It isn't one single monolithic community. But what does it mean to the black communities in this country?
Well, it's really an enormous event. And the fact that it is, that he will give this speech on the same day, I mean, it really is remarkable, a remarkable historical juxtaposition, because Dr. King, even in his dream, didn't imagine a black presidential candidate, you know. And so, I mean, it is an indication of some amazing growth in this country, and many African-Americans are enormously proud of this time. When he made his speech the night when he summed it all up, when he won the nomination, I was, you know, sitting there listening to him, and it finally, you know, kind of dawned on me that this was an amazingly historic occasion. I never thought, quite frankly, that I would live long enough to see this kind of development, this kind of political development, and I'm still kind of pinching myself a bit
Ralph,
in the wake of it.
What would you add? Because I asked for communities. You travel in different communities than Salim, at least politically. So what's been the reaction in the black communities that you're aware of?
I think that monolithic support for the candidacy of Barack Obama out of a sense of black pride is understandable, and certainly I don't condemn it. And the racial solidarity crowd is demanding that all blacks in elected office and all blacks in the communities vote stridently in lockstep with the black candidate in this sense. And when the same thing manifests itself on the white side and white voters start saying, let's vote for the white candidate, then the civil rights leadership cries foul. But essentially, the black community is doing the same thing. I think that after the general election, we'll get back to normalcy. And I think at that point, we'll rehabilitate the image of Bill and Hillary and go back to being on the same equal footing with white liberals and black liberals talking to each other again. And I think that that's one of the unfortunate downsides of this historic occasion. Certainly, Barack Obama has exceeded all the expectations, and I think there's a real upside to his ability to bring change in America. So we're watching and we're hoping for the best.
Carol, your reaction.
Well, something occurred to me as Ralph and Salim were talking, and that is Hillary and I are peers age-wise. I'm a couple years younger. But her supporters on Saturday were screaming, Denver, Denver. And I was thinking to myself, these are women who are my age or older. And it's not going to be like 1968 in Grand Park. These women are not going to go out and man, so to speak, the barricades. But they are very angry about it. And the other issue that the Clintons are working on now is a very important one to them, especially to the rock star ex-president, and that is, what is their role at the convention? If you remember, in 2000, Bill Clinton managed to overshadow Al Gore. In 2004, the Kerry team was very worried about that happening, and how Obama's going to deal with this and what role will be given is a stickier question than what role do you give to George W. Bush at the Republican convention.
I think one of the other challenges here is that it is obvious right now, It is obvious that Barack Obama is a historic figure in a historic election, and should he get elected, it's going to be of monumental historic significance. That's the story. Everyone in America already knows what that story is. Here's where I think the danger is. I think there's a large percentage of people, many of them who happen to be white, and obviously he wants to appeal to that constituency. They may be moderate Republicans, they may be independents. Most of the Democrats, I think he probably already has. But I think there is a danger from the news media is to bang that story over everybody's head. He's the first black guy, over and over and over and over again. Then you're going to get to the I Have a Dream speech. Mm. You're going to make that point. And it's going to be over and over and over and over and over again. And my point is, if you're trying to convince white guys who are between the age of, let's say, 40 and 60, to look beyond any prejudice that they may have and try to bring them to support Barack Obama, if you keep hammering over and over and over again the media playing the race card in the telling of the story, you're going to turn you're going to turn a significant number of those white voters off. Whereas if you just played it cool and let the campaign go without this, oh, this is such a historic moment, without
right.
doing that.
Right.
But in my view, the liberal media cannot do it. They well, don't know how to do it.
There's another element to this as well. They're going for a very strong voter registration effort in order to rouse up the young voters and those first-time voters. And in order to do that, they're going to have to emphasize his movement qualities, his change qualities, and that historic aspect of his candidacy. And that, I think, will also tend to alienate many of these
voters. Yeah, so those two goals could fly in the face of each other. And to me, how that issue is played in the media and how people react to it, in my view, is the key thing to watch. That alone is going to determine whether Barack Obama makes it to the White House or not. I'm Bruce Dumont. We're going to have to pause. Hour number one has come to a conclusion. Ralph Connor's been here. Carol Felsenthal, author of the book Clinton in Exile, has been here. And Salim Uwakil from In These Times. Phone lines open at 1-800-723-8029, folks. We have a full board of lights. We will hear from them wall to wall, calls from all over the country when we continue for hour number two of Beyond the Beltway, live from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go Red!
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go Red!
To Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont. We continue with hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. Tonight featuring commentary by Salim Muakil of In These Times, Ralph Connor of the Heartland Institute, and author Carol Felsenthal, author of the book Clinton in Exile. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. 1-800-723-8289. We've been asking the question, should Barack Obama pick Hillary Clinton for Vice President of the United States? And obviously, she has made the case that, she garnered 18 million votes. She won all of the key states that you have to win to get to 270. You might say, well, a Democrat is likely to win some of those states anyway. But in some cases, it seems to me that the case can be made that maybe some of those battleground states wouldn't necessarily go Democratic. And it's going to be interesting to see how he views this. After that alleged, or not alleged, but after the meeting between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, which took place at the home this past week of Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, it was revealed that someone had sort of said that at least an anonymous source was quoted as saying that, that Barack Obama didn't appreciate all of sort of the public campaigning for the vice presidency. He certainly could not have been very pleased with the Tuesday night speech of Hillary Clinton, where she was very strident.
It wasn't just Barack who was displeased with that.
Everybody was. I mean, she clearly was upset, and she went on and on and on about how many votes she had, and clearly it was a very defiant person, and the tone of the speech yesterday and the tone of the speech on Tuesday night were considerably different. And again, we haven't really talked too much about it, but the speech of John McCain on election night, he's had a couple of months to figure out what is he going to do with his big moment in the sun. There is debate as to whether or not he should have even gone on TV on Tuesday night. I think it was a good idea because the world was focused on that, and why should you give up any exposure when it is Barack Obama's big night? Because part of the thing he has to do is he's got to bring that expectation level of Barack Obama down a little bit. He clearly knew that the people that were going to be listening and watching that speech that night were primarily Democrats. He spent virtually all of the time bending over backwards to say that he could reach out to those Democrats. He called Hillary Clinton how proud he was as a father that someone like Hillary Clinton had made it so far because he has daughters. He said he was proud to call her my friend. He talked about the proud and the decent and the patriotic people that she appealed to. And clearly he went on and on. And again, when he wasn't doing that, he was basically kicking George Bush under the bus, saying that he was not a Bush Republican. So don't try to convince anybody that this is a third term of George Bush, because it isn't. And when you read what John McCain said, it was a pretty good speech. And I think you could make the case that having that speech that night, reaching out, it was clearly you didn't have a lot of partisan Republicans that were probably watching that speech. But the stagecraft, and I don't think we can underestimate it was one of the worst staged appearances. He didn't look good. He doesn't know how to read a teleprompter. He had this ghastly green background, and he looked old and tired and sort of angry. He looked like an angry old man. And I think it hurt him. It hurt him significantly in the delivery of the two. And I'm just wondering, the old thing about you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm not so sure he's ever going to master the ability to give a speech on TV. Certainly, he is in no league of Barack Obama, and few people are.
Well,
Carol.
First of all, I think that the McCain and his people ought to emphasize that the reason that McCain looks so ghastly sometime when he's caught at a certain angle is because he was a prisoner of war for 5.5 years, and he's had malignant melanomas, one on his face, which is what gives him that right. very puffy look on one side, and which gives him a stance that's not graceful. Barack Obama is a cool, graceful guy. When I was writing my book on Clinton, I interviewed Hollywood producers, because Hollywood was a big factor in promoting Bill Clinton, and it is also a big factor now in promoting Obama. And a couple of the producers who were important in the late 80s and early 90s as Bill Clinton was positioning himself to run told me that they took Bill Clinton, they had him give a speech, they videotaped him, they showed him what a terrible speaker he was, how everything that he was doing during the speech almost was wrong, and they taught him how to be the effective speaker that he became. Right. So he was a young dog, not an old dog, but I have a dog, and I know you can teach an old dog.
And also, I mean, Clinton, just think of the horrendous speech that he gave in 1988.
Oh, my gosh.
He was,
yes.
And everybody thought he had written his obituary that night, because it was just...
He was a comeback kid, and he knew how to bring himself back and did.
He proved that night he didn't know how to get off the stage, and today he still doesn't.
But before you write John McCain's political obituary just based on an appearance on TV, I think that you have to realize these superficial aspects of puff politics are not really what's going to determine this next election. It's like the Dean scream.
Tell that to Richard Nixon.
Wrote Dean off because he screamed, and I think that Dean has proven that he still made a valuable contribution in spite of the scream, but. You know, when you look at McCain, you have to look at his self-assuredness, his experience, and the fact that not only does he have a certain modicum of charm, he also has a record. And he has a record of working with Democrats in the Senate on legislation. He, as you may know, was one of the chief sponsors, along with the very liberal Senator Teddy Kennedy, of the immigration amnesty bill, which infuriated all the conservative wing in the Republican Party. So John McCain has always been a man of principle, a man who takes a stance, and a man who's shown that he can work with the Democrats in the Senate. Well, those are valuable assets.
It's a much stronger record of reaching out to across the aisle and getting things done than Barack Obama's. There's no question about that. Jose, listening to us in Chicago on WLS, you're on Coast to Coast. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good evening. Great show.
Thanks.
Mr. Obama should not pick Ms. Clinton, because especially after she went into that rant about a possible assassination, alluding to Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, horrendous.
And then Mr. Clinton alleged a relationship with a Hollywood star by the name of Gina Gershon.
Carol?
Well, first of all, this caller is referring to a Vanity Fair piece called The Comeback Id, and it's in the July issue of Vanity Fair. When I read it, every point in that article I make in my book, so I was a little bit taken aback by it, and it's full of unnamed sources. And that actress, in fact, has said that she was never alone with Bill Clinton, and she's called for a
But what retraction. About what about the broader issue? Because it seems to me that in this climate, her comment and her allusion to Robert Kennedy
yes.
is one of the most reprehensible.
Right.
And things like that, I don't think just come inadvertently out of your lips.
And
I think that's what they've been thinking about.
Right,
and
I think it's one reason why she didn't end her campaign.
Suspended campaign.
She suspended the campaign. And I think it's macabre and it's frightening. But I think that there is that aspect that you don't know what's going to happen between now and late August, and Hillary wants to be positioned to run back in if there's a reason for her to do it. Now, I watched her make that statement, and I honestly think her intentions were okay. I think she was saying that her husband's campaign went into June, which wasn't true. It was disingenuous.
Right.
He got the nomination effectively.
Her
facts are wrong because she was using it to make her point. But what she was saying about Bobby Kennedy, I think she meant it just like that, that that primary race was still going on in June.
I disagree. I think the reference to Bobby Kennedy was an accurate one, because she is the Bobby Kennedy of this election. She's the senator from New York, just like Senator Robert Francis Kennedy. She won the California primary, but they don't give her credit for being the one who has the authority and the power
to win.
We'll
be back shortly.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
From Robinson, North Carolina to Omaha, Nebraska, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Let us go to Robinson, North Carolina, where Clifford is listening to us on WNOX. Nice to have you with us tonight, Clifford.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Actually, it's Robbinsville.
Robbinsville, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Where is Robbinsville, North Carolina?
It is on the very western tip of North Carolina.
Very good. Well, good to hear from you tonight.
Well, thank you. First of all, I'm 35, and I'm a white male. I'm a former Marine, and I've in my entire life, I've never voted. I'm a registered Democrat. However, I've never voted. And
you didn't even vote in the primary recently down there?
No, I didn't. It got me interested, and I've really been paying attention to everything that's going on. And I've got to say, I'm going with Obama on this one.
Why?
Well, He's a great speaker. I mean, every time he speaks, you get chills on your body, and he makes you feel like something is actually going to happen with this country.
Sound like Chris Matthews, roll up his leg or something like that.
That was weird.
But as far as your question goes about Hillary, I don't think that Hillary, I don't think he should choose her as his running mate, and that's because she has way too much influence, and I think she's going to try to take over the presidency from the second seat. She's going to try to do too much and overpower Obama.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for your call.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Earlier you had said something about pro-life and pro-choice on McCain and Obama.
Uh-huh.
And it's my fault for not being educated on this, but what is their position on this?
John McCain is pro-life, and Obama is pro-choice.
Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what about bin Laden? Is anybody even talking about him?
Well, they haven't brought him up lately, other than Obama has said that if he had actionable intelligence that he was hiding somewhere in Pakistan, he would use military forces to go get him and root him out.
Why did the media go with the shift from Obama? Because Obama's the one that done the 9/11 thing. Now, why did it go from that?
Do what 9/11 thing? I'm missing your point.
The bombing of the Twin Towers. Why did it go from there to Saddam Hussein, and you never hear anything about...
Oh, he means Osama, not Obama.
Osama.
So it's a mistake that's made all the time.
Many people
make
that mistake.
Okay, all right. Listen, thanks very much for your call. We do appreciate it. Let's go. We said we're going to go to Omaha. Let's go to Omaha, where Phil is listening to us on XM Radio. POTUS 130. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I think Hillary should not be on the ticket, I would say it'd be a mistake because I think she's given over the primary season, she's given the Republicans enough ammo so that it would dilute the message of change that Obama's trying to put forward.
What about Chuck Hagel?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sold on Chuck Hagel. I think when Obama ran, I thought Bill Richardson would be a good vice president choice. But
No.
You don't think so?
I think Bill Richardson looks good on paper, and every day he was in the spotlight, he wilted.
Right.
In my view.
Yeah.
And their problems.
That's what I thought. So. But right now, I don't see Hagel either. I almost think Jim Webb. I almost think Webb would be probably the other. My choice right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob Kerry, speaking about Omaha, Bob Kerry might be an interesting choice. He's now president of the New School in New York, mm-hmm. but he's a governor and a senator from Nebraska and a war hero.
Mm-hmm. Ran a horrible campaign for president.
Yeah, against Bill Clinton for the nomination.
Mm-hmm. He's also Hillary Clinton supporter, too, so
that,
I don't know.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That's good. Listen, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it.
He's the one who said that Bill Clinton is an unusually good liar. So I don't know how they put that into a campaign.
Well, if he was running for Obama, then maybe that would be a good thing. Here's an interesting suggestion coming in from Dr. Israel, listening to us in Chicago. He has a unique running mate. Go ahead.
Good evening to the host and to your guests. It's always good to hear Brother Salim Wakil on ABC. And Brother Salim, first to Bruce. When you're there and you're broadcasting and Brother Salim is not there, I'm climbing the wall and I'm arguing with you on every point. I'm glad Salim is there to represent me.
Oh, good. I am too.
I'd like for Caroline.
But you can call in.
I may disappoint you sometime. There.
You can call in any week and your point of view will be represented. But go ahead.
Well, I'm always locked into you as soon as you come on.
Good.
Miss Caroline Kennedy is my vice president. A day before Senator Obama chose her to search for a vice president, mm-hmm. her name came. She is the next generation. And another point, to overcome the other issues that the Republican side have put forth, Senator Obama should come up with a program, a $500 billion employment program. We can start by cleaning Lake Michigan. Chemical companies dump 3,915 gallons of chemicals into Lake Michigan every day.
Okay.
And that'll be the trouble that'll happen in Anwar in Alaska.
All right.
If oil goes there.
Dr. Israel, listen, thanks for your call. I'm gonna table the second part of your conversation because we're not into a discussion of policy tonight. We are talking about vice presidential runmates, and I think you have come up with a very interesting suggestion. Caroline Kennedy is one of the three members of the Vice Presidential Selection Committee. You'll remember that was
Cheney.
Cheney, right.
Dick Cheney had that role 8 years ago. She is obviously younger, but on the other hand, every woman over 50, I think, would buy into that.
But she's such a private figure.
Right.
And she is not a good speaker. I thought it was a weird decision to put her on the search committee for vice president. I could see her having a role because she certainly helped Obama. But that committee of three, Caroline Kennedy, who has no experience, she was way too young when JFK picked LBJ. Eric Holder, who's up to his ears in the rich pardon scandal. He was Janet Reno's deputy in the Justice Department. He was hauled before a congressional committee. I was shocked.
Who indicted Dan Rostenkowski.
Yes, and I was shocked when he was named to that committee. And I think it does show the media bias for Obama because the media never picked up on that. And then Jim Johnson, who's a former CEO of the scandal-plagued Fannie Mae, is the third member, and he's the one who picked Geraldine Ferraro in 1984, vetted her, and didn't bother looking at her husband's financial dealings, which really, you know, they lost every state but Minnesota, and then picked John Edwards, who vetted John Edwards and contributed to that choice, and he proved to be a terrible running mate with John Kerry. There was no chemistry between them.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the north side of Chicago. Bonnie is listening to us on WLS. You're on the air, Bonnie.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Regarding the vice presidential choice for Obama, I think he has to tread very lightly where it regards women, because if he picks Hillary, then people will say, oh, yeah, he's not the agent of change. It's the same old, same old. If he doesn't pick Hillary, he will offend all those Hillary supporters who will say, you know what, she paid her dues. She got so many millions of votes. So, I mean, I don't, and if he doesn't pick a woman at all, then there's a group of women that will feel snubbed. And I really don't know how he's gonna come out of this in one piece.
Well, I want to stay on the line because I want to hear Carol's thinking on this. Now, this caller said that women would feel snubbed, but we talked earlier in the broadcast that if he picked some other woman other than Hillary, other women would be snubbed. I mean, as a woman, put your woman's hat on right now.
Right.
Give us the gender analysis of this very dicey situation.
Well, they're playing by Clinton rules, and Clinton rules have come into effect during this campaign several times. One of the Clinton rules was that impeachment of Monica Lewinsky couldn't be mentioned by Barack or by his people. And it was never mentioned. It was just kept completely out of the campaign. And then this other zany idea that there are many women who are well-situated, Democratic women, to become the vice president, but there's this rule that it would be insulting to Hillary if one of those women...
Who are those women?
The one who I think would be a really interesting choice is, I think it's Kathleen Sebelius,
right,
the governor of Kansas, Napolitano, is that her name, in
Arizona.
Either of those would be an interesting choice, and the Arizona one would be interesting because that's McCain's home state. I think from a strategic point of view, Barack ought to pick Warner. And Mark Warner came up before, a very successful, attractive businessman from a state that Barack might just be able to carry, the state of Virginia. I think he's an interesting idea.
Barack Obama, by the way, we all know, because if you've been following presidential politics, you know that the traditional battleground states are Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Missouri, and New Mexico. They might still be battleground states, but Obama is adding a different group. He is adding Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, North Carolina, Iowa, and South Carolina.
And New Mexico.
Where he did well. Everybody's got sort of New Mexico on their list. And then McCain, he's got his own list of potential swing states. New Hampshire, Connecticut, New Jersey, Oregon, and Washington. I think of that list, only New Hampshire is the one that's most likely to go to him. I think he could do well in some of the battleground states as well. 1-800-723-8289. Lots of callers on the line. We'll bring them on and we'll share their opinions with you coast to coast. I'm listening, I'm watching, and I'm listening to Beyond the Beltway, and we hope you are as well. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. From Bloomington, Illinois, to Bloomington, Indiana, to Bloomington, Michigan, to Bloomington, Minnesota, you are listening to Beyond the Beltway. Let's go to Sue. She's listening to us in Bloomington, Illinois on WLS. Go ahead, Sue.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening for a couple of hours. I'm enjoying it as I drive home from Chicago.
Good.
My husband and I have a different theory of why Obama should not choose Hillary as his running candidate, and that would be, remember what happened to Vince Foster. I think we've all forgotten a lot of what the Clintons are really about. The Clintons, I think, are not trustworthy. I think they have proven again and again that they lie, and it just frightens me. I think they were an embarrassment to America when they were in the White House. And to have more of that, we just don't need it, you know.
Let Carol respond. Carol, when you began your book is called Clinton in Exile, a president out of the White House. When you began your report and began to research the book, what was your opinion of Bill Clinton?
Oh, I thought that he was a reckless man who took an excellent opportunity as the first Democratic two-term president in a long time, and he threw almost half of it away. He wasn't a two-term president. He was a term and a quarter president because the Lewinsky scandal broke January 21, 1998. He reluctantly left the White House January 20, 2001. On the Vince, because I am the kind of reporter I am, I just can't stop. I looked at a lot of what happened in the White House. Vince Foster committed suicide. And to suggest anything different is really unfair to the Clintons. I do believe the Clintons lie. I think the caller is right about that. I interviewed Sheila Anthony, who was Vince Foster's, who is Vince Foster's sister, and you know, told me this is a suicide. This is how it happened. He was depressed. He was seeing a psychiatrist. And I also interviewed her husband, who was a congressman from Arkansas, whose first name I can't remember, but he was Congressman Anthony. And, you know, these people are friends with Bill Clinton. Believe me, they wouldn't be if there was anything untoward there.
When you look at this campaign and look where it sort of started to head in one direction for Barack Obama and the other direction for Hillary Clinton, what significance would you put on the early comments made by David Geffen, major liberal within the Hollywood community,
huge
fundraiser,
right,
huge close friend of the Clintons, and he was the first one that uttered the words that the Clintons are liars.
Right, and you know, there was a New York Times column written by Maureen Dowd, who had a sit-down with Geffen in this huge mansion that is right next to the mansion of Ron Burkle, who's one of Bill Clinton's traveling buddies, billionaire 757 plane owner. And that was, it kind of broke this kind of facade in front of the Clintons. It was a big crack, and David Geffen was just ready for a change, and he saw Barack Obama as the agent of that, and he couldn't imagine more of the psychodrama, the low drama, the Clinton years, and he knew enough about them. I mean, Bill Clinton was his house guest all the time,
and
he
gave everybody permission. It's okay to come out and do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, the saying in Hollywood when I was doing my interview was, don't tell Mama Hillary, I'm for Obama. So the whole, you saw the seismic change. They didn't all move, but most of them moved. And John McCain's support in Hollywood, of course, is very thin because Hollywood likes liberals,
but you know,
and it likes rock stars like Obama.
But you know, the comment about Vince Foster is an indication of just how rabidly,
right,
much of the right wing hates the Clintons,
mm-hmm,
and it would demonstrate how they would rally the right wing and the Republican Party in ways that her not being on the ticket couldn't do. So that's another point against her being named.
All of the Republican ammunition that the Republicans have gathered to use against Hillary, they would use it if she was on the ticket.
That's
Let's
right.
go to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Rocky is listening to us on WIZM. Go ahead, Rocky.
Yes. What I'm calling about is the vice presidential candidate. I feel that Hillary tried to be a vice president when she was really supposed to be a first lady.
Right.
Her health program was catastrophic. She's proven herself to be undignified, untrustworthy, and is not above not telling the truth. We've also seen her husband perform this way. Their time is over, and just like his presidency, they don't seem to be able to show any class and will not leave with any dignity. This would hurt her. What she's done the past few weeks has hurt her chances of getting a vice presidency. As far as Carolyn Kennedy goes, she's a lovely girl. We obviously all remember her when she was a child and have watched her grow up. I don't quite understand what her qualifications would be to choose a candidate, except that she's from the Kennedy family. I think that they need to just stop worrying about who's going to be vice president and let these men settle in, and we'll all get to know who their possible choices might be. But everybody just seems to be in a big rush.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to settle down, let them do their debates. We'll get to know them better. And I think it'll just play itself out. But the Clintons are just like a bad rash that won't go away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear about I'm talking about.
Well, that sounds like a like a quote to be used in a promo to me.
But being resentful of a woman not getting it, I think they underestimate women. I'm 60 myself, and I've never been a fan of Hillary's. I know an awful lot of women that do like her. I don't know why, but everyone has their own choice. To me, she's just very abrasive and harsh, and we saw her personality change according to what the last debate was and how she felt she should portray herself.
Well, I also think it was kind of interesting, and thank you for your call, but where I thought it was real clear is that for the last couple of weeks, up until last Tuesday night, I saw a side of Hillary that I frankly kind of liked. She was kind of relaxed. She was rolling up her sleeves. I mean, she
too
was
late,
out there. It was too much, too late. And then we got the last Tuesday night. And last Tuesday night, followed by yesterday, it reminded me of sort of the coldness, the starkness, the calculating nature of her, which reinforced all of the old images after, in my view, she had done a pretty good job. I mean, I'm talking personally now. She had sort of, erased some of those thoughts. Let's go to Michelle. This is not Michelle Obama, unless she's calling from Libertyville, Illinois on WLS. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello.
I enjoy your show. I look forward to it every Sunday night.
Thanks very much.
Sure. You know, someone mentioned going now by the Clinton rules, and I do sort of agree but there have been Barack rules and the things we can't talk about, and his ears, his middle name, Reverend Wright, and he's very defensive. And so in some ways, I think they deserve each other. So that's my comment.
Well, we can talk about his ears. He's got big ears, right?
He talks about them all the time.
His middle name comes up all the time.
Right.
And Reverend Wright was,
all over the news.
You can't avoid talking about him.
Right, but he takes offense, and he makes people feel like they're doing, quote, politics as usual, unquote. And so he belittles people, when in reality those are very important, not the ears, but, you know, some of the things people bring up are important issues, and he tries to shut it down right away. So he has his own set of rules. And
What is the significant issue in your view about Reverend Wright, in your view?
In my view, I really wish it wouldn't. I don't know precisely when it turned into a race issue. I think you do have a point that Bill Clinton had some part in that. But I just think America's better than that, and I was just really shocked and saddened to see so many people cheering on Flager and Reverend Wright, and I guess naively I thought we were sort of past that.
Ralph, what's your take on that?
On Reverend Wright?
Well, no, the point that was made last week on this program, it was that when they were talking about, last week we were talking about Father Flager's comments, and it wasn't necessarily that what Father Flager was saying, although it was sort of odd that a Catholic priest is invited to Barack Obama's church. They know that he's a controversial figure. They give him a microphone. They give him a pulpit, and there's
virtually a member. I mean, he has been in lockstep with the movement on the South Side, the Black identity movement, the whole cultural movement understands, Black militancy in general. Father Flager has been a well-known supporter of African-American activism, and certainly he's strident when it comes to gun control and issues like that. So for him to be invited to a black church is nothing new. He's always been there with C-SPAR.
No, but the reaction of the guest last week, Chris Roebling, and this caller, I believe, and Chris Roebling said it. It wasn't what Michael Flager said, especially when you understand his political background. What was disturbing to a lot of people who saw the tape, and what was disturbing to a lot of people who saw the tape of Reverend Wright, it was the reaction of the congregation. It was the hooting, the hollering, the cheering that followed.
Once again, that's part of the culture. That's part of the culture of the black church, that call and response type thing. And when you tickle their ears with something that's like, you know, we're fighting against the man, if you will, that type of image is always easily sold in African-American community. The bad brother fighting upstream against the white power structure.
But do you understand how whites reacted?
Yes, yes. Part of the tradition of the black church is the histrionics, the kind of hyperbole. And that's why the church is not suited for these kinds of political venue, not to be a political venue. That's why Reverend Wright was so out of out of space when he made his speech in Washington. He had the Amen Corner with him, egging him on.
Right, yeah.
It was the same with Father Flager. He was simply being acting in the tradition of the Black Church,
playing
to the crowd,
playing to the
That's
crowd.
That's not the tradition of every Black Church.
No. Back shortly from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
From Boston, Massachusetts to Boise, Idaho, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Let's go to Boise, where Bob is listening to us on KBOI. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the air.
Hey, we're all Obamiacs now, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Are they Obamiacs in Idaho?
Well, he won't win this state.
Right.
And
of course not.
Won't even be close. And I don't think he'll get the oceans to listen to his rhetoric.
He won't get who to listen to his rhetoric?
The oceans. He's going to get the oceans to lower.
Oh, the oceans lower. So you're not buying his uplifting rhetoric.
Well, I'm not buying his socialist plan.
All right,
put it that way.
I don't think that Ralph Connor is as well. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Tom is listening to us on XM Radio, POTUS 130. Go ahead. Are you there? Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Bruce, yeah, I'm a European-American, and I believe the African-American is going to choose a Mexican-American for the VP because he would never choose the female-American and because of her baggies. Hopefully you understand my underlying point here. This is an election of hyphens, and I'm really, really getting discouraged because if you don't know by now that Obama is black, you've been living on an island somewhere.
Right.
This has gone way beyond reasonable, and I believe, and this is my opinion, that this is being done to play up the whole race, the whole sex, all these issues, not to hurt anybody, but to distract from the real issue, which are the issues. And Mr. Obama and his, you know, potential VPs are all razor thin on knowledge and/or experience, and I'm completely fed up with the mainstream press because this has turned into an election of hyphens.
And who is your choice for vice president?
Well, it wouldn't be my choice, but my expectation is Bill Richardson. He's the only person that could really complement Obama. I'm a Republican. Well, I'm a conservative. I'm not happy with Mr. McCain, by the way, mm-hmm. either. But my point is that Richardson is the only person that is really going to be able to complement Obama in a credible fashion that can speak reasonably well from experience and knowledge. Mr. Obama seems to be a wonderful orator, but his knowledge level is very small and his experience is infinitesimally small.
Ralph Connor.
I think that the listener is right on target when you look at the demographics and the fact that Senator Obama has had problems drawing support from the Hispanic community, but I think there's only one sure way to guarantee that Senator Clinton will take her cards and not cooperate, and that is to put Bill Richardson on the ticket. That's anathema to her, and certainly it would certainly give her motivation to divide the party. And I think you got to talk about unity, so he'd be the absolute worst choice.
I agree with that, and also I would say that when you really look at the conduct during the campaign, I think that Bill Richardson has the depth of a cookie sheet.
Yes.
The resume looks
right.
good.
Right.
The man is not smart.
No.
And again, if the first decision that you're going to make as the candidate for president, you pick someone purely on political reasons. The only reason he would be picked is because he is a Mexican-American, and I do not think he handled himself very well in this campaign.
Well, also, Richardson has some of the same problems that Bill Clinton had, personal life problems. And the Clintons are beyond furious with him, and so are Hillary's supporters. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill Clinton called Richardson and screamed at him after watching the going to Santa Fe to court him during the Super Bowl. And then, you know, Bill Richardson kept him hanging, and then Bill Clinton calls him and says, I gave you a cabinet position. I gave you the UN position. Wasn't too enough. What else do you want? And, it was a very ugly scene.
Yeah.
Bill Richardson's a main chance guy. He saw Obama as a winner, so he went with him.
Yep.
Doesn't mean he should be vice president. He shouldn't be.
I don't think that's likely to happen, but thanks for your call anyway. Barbara in New Lenox, you're on the air, coast to coast.
Oh, hi. I had a kind of a novel idea. I'm wondering why the people who voted for Hillary Clinton don't put her in as a write-in candidate. Get 18 million votes.
Well, I don't think that would work in a presidential election.
I'm wondering, because if McCain won the election, she'd have a chance to run in 4 years.
Right. Yeah, I don't think she'd mind it, but it would really hurt Obama. I mean, she...
Well, yeah. But, you know, one lady called in and said she thought Hillary was a liar. I'm looking at Obama, and I'm thinking, Jeremiah Wright, he was in his church for 20 years, and he didn't know what that guy was about. I don't believe him either.
Well, there's the judgment issue. I think that's the issue that the Jeremiah Wright issue, I think, comes to a strength that Barack Obama made throughout his entire career campaign, and that is judgment. I have better judgment because I was smart enough to realize to vote against the war in Iraq. Hillary Clinton was not. And again, it was all based on judgment. And when the Jeremiah Wright case came up, he does not have a good answer as to why he stayed in that church for 20 years. And now especially it's not good because he's now left the church. So he realized there was enough is enough.
I have a feeling that that decision to join the church and to stay there was Michelle's, and I don't know it, but it's just a kind of inkling that I have.
Well, you know, Jared, go to Fresno, California. Last call. You got 30 seconds. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yes, hello.
You have 30 seconds.
I'm a 78-year-old senior citizen. I don't believe Hillary should go for the vice president, or I guess she doesn't have a choice. But I believe she's too strong of a woman. And most people don't even know who the vice president is.
Well, they would.
They know now.
They know Dick Cheney. Our thanks to Salim Mowakil from In These Times for joining us. Ralph Connor from the Heartland Institute and Carol Felsenthal written a fascinating new book, Clinton in Exile, A President Out of the White House. Send this to Barack Obama if he's thinking about putting Hillary on the ticket. Your book will probably be the nail in the coffin. This program is a Genevieve production produced in association with WLS Talk Radio. Our thanks tonight to Patrick Johnson and the ever-popular Stephanie Lecce for their assistance in the production of this program. Until next Sunday night at the same time, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.